I'd like to introduce you to Jean Wagner. Jean Wagner was born in San Francisco, California. She earned a master's degree in humanities from San Francisco State University and has been a recipient of several national awards, including a Writers at Work Fellowship, an NFSPS Founders Award, the Francis Locke Award, the MacGuffin Poet Hunt, the Anne Stafford Prize, the Briarcliff Review Award, and most recently, the Inkwell Prize, and that was judged by the great poet Mark Doty. Her poems have previously appeared in the Alaska Quarterly Review, Nimrod, Cincinnati Review, and Rhino, and on websites such as Poetry Daily, Verse Daily, and PBS's Poem of the Week. She's the author of 5 books of poetry. Her first full-length book, The Zen Piano Mover, won the 2004 Stevens Manuscript Prize, and her most recent book, In the Body of Our Lives, was released by 16 Rivers Press in 2011. She serves on the editorial staff of the California Quarterly, and when she's not writing or working as a tax accountant, she travels, plays chess and backgammon, and watches old movies. Jean Wagner, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
No, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Great to have you here. What an accomplished career you're bringing to our chat today. It seems to me with all the prizes and recognitions that you've received, you probably have to have a pretty systematic way of deciding what to send out, to whom to send it, what to send right back out as soon as it comes back, if it happens not to win a prize, et cetera, et cetera.
That happened.
Do you find that your logical work as a tax accountant has helped to prepare you to approach these challenges in a systematic way?
You know, people try to find some relationship between being a tax accountant and a poet.
Yeah.
And so far, I haven't found one. Well, I don't think it really does prepare me, no.
You'd be qualified, then, more than most of us, to find that relationship. And so tell me about, then, your relationship with all these folks that you're sending your manuscripts and poems off to. How is it that you decide? Where do you find them? We have a lot of apprentice poets who listen to the show and would love to know about how you make some of those obviously successful choices.
Okay. Well, a lot of it's experience.
Mm-hmm.
I read a lot of poetry journals, and now the great thing is the web.
Right.
You can find where some of these are listed. Poets and Writers has a great section where you can find all the upcoming contests. And then the best thing to do is to go and look on their site and read some of their poems. And most of them have poems published there. And see if there's anything like what you write. That's
mm-hmm.
important. And if there are, you just send them in and keep your fingers crossed.
Excellent. And do you subscribe to a number of journals? Do you depend mostly on the web? How important is it to prime the pump as a subscriber to journals, as well as one who appreciates them from afar, as it were?
Well, a lot of the contests I enter, I don't know how I started this. Years ago, entering contests, it's kind of like a gambling habit almost.
Yeah.
You know, you send in your $10 or $15 and hope for the best. Most of the ones I like, you get a free journal with
mm-hmm.
your entry. And that really tells you a lot. Sometimes you say, oh, my God, I sent to this.
Right.
But even so, if you read them, you get a lot of good stuff. And it orients you to modern poetry and what's out there and the various styles that different journalists are putting out there.
Okay.
So it's a great way to learn.
Terrific. Jean Wagner is my guest this afternoon on KDBS, and we're talking about poetry and the practices and successes of the modern poet. So your most recent book, In the Body of Our Lives, was released by 16 Rivers Press, and that's kind of a collective, isn't it? You're expected to do more than just publish your book there, am I right?
Right, that's right.
Can you say something about that?
Sure. It's a great place. Annually, they have a contest, and they can choose up to 2 poets. Often, they only choose 1. And the people who come in are in the 16 Rivers area. And that means the 16 Rivers watershed. And basically, I mean, we have poets from as far south as Modesto and Sonoma County. So it encompasses a really wide area of the Bay Area. And you're expected, after a year of arranging your own book, you're expected to read manuscripts, help with promotion, distribution, that kind of thing.
Excellent. So you've probably been able to expand your non-virtual, non-correspondence circle of poets by meeting with other poets who have been published by the press in the Bay Area and beyond.
Right. It was a good start.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these poets I'd already met. Going to the St. John has kind of a, David St. John has kind of a master class in Sausalito.
Mm-hmm.
And there's various groups and a lot of poets there. And I met some of the 16 Rivers there. And I thought, well, I really would like this press. And that encouraged me to send in there.
That's great. Good for you. Gene Wagner is my guest right now, and we've been talking about poetry and the business of poetry. Her new book from 16 Rivers Press is called In the Body of Our Lives, and she's got a copy right there in her hand. Gene, could you share a poem with us?
Sure. Okay, I'll read this one. It's called Dr. Frankenstein on Love. I gave him everything I love, the high forehead, which looks so endearing on babies, on his face became a frightening cliff drop of skull, and the vacant eyes, with their hint of lethal hurt, were the same cornflower blue irises I plucked from the beggared sockets of the dead. I thought we could live again, like memory, that we would rise from unrequited flesh, as only bodies carefully stitched from remnants can. But he lurches, like an old film unspooling, and dreams in a language not his own. Sometimes just the white amnesia of a flower makes him weep.
That's very nice. When you describe Frankenstein's monster that way, I think of Boris Karloff rather than the Mary Shelley novel, and it's probably true for you as well.
Absolutely. I'm an old film buff, and this is sort of inspired by that original Frankenstein, you know, the one where he throws a little girl in the pond and all that.
Absolutely, yeah. Are there allusions to a number of older films in this, your most recent book of poetry?
I have written about a number of films, but I think that's the only one in here.
What are some of the other themes that you explore in this book, In the Body of Our Lives?
It is a book about the body,
mm-hmm.
and it's also a book about home and the house and the home as a body, in a sense, too. The title of the book is from a line from Robert Haas.
Mm-hmm. There's a line from Emily Dickinson that might interest you. One need not be a body to be haunted. No, one need not be a house to be haunted, I think is the line. I'll have to check that.
That is a great line.
And it suggests, that there are ghosts and voices that we carry around with us. It's not only in haunted houses that one encounters ghosts.
Right. The full quote of this is, we live in a house as in the body of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to combine those themes in a few different chapters, but mostly that's what it's about.
You live not too far from Robert Haas when he's living in Berkeley. Is he someone who you've met with or encountered at poetry readings or seen read?
I encountered him at Squaw Valley, and actually Robert Haas lives in Kensington,
mm-hmm.
Haas, which is a very small town. But he fibs and says he lives in Berkeley because
right.
No one knows where Kensington is.
And right, and then he has to explain himself.
Yes.
Yeah. When I lived in Berkeley 22 years ago, he lived on or right off of Marin Place, which is that very steep hill in North Berkeley.
Right.
But he's done quite well. He's probably moved up since then.
He's moved up literally, yes.
Yes. Gene Wagner is my guest, and we're talking about poetry this afternoon. Could we hear another poem from In the Body of Our Lives?
Sure. I'll read this one called Gnome. One year, we almost moved to Nome, That was nearly 40 years ago, months after we lost our first child. We pictured ourselves living in a town with a name that sounded like a combination of home and known, but was neither. Not Ultima Thule, but somewhere just south of it. We looked it up in the encyclopedia, found it began in a gold rush, then lost its old buildings to storm and fire. We saw a picture of a stark, treeless place with one-story houses, a church with an old-fashioned pointed steeple, cold views of the Bering Sea. I wanted northern lights that looked like shook foil, dusks that lasted all day, the private drama darkness affords, that feeling of shopping in a supermarket at night, the shelves and aisles sacrificially lit. Maybe I'd have found a used bookstore. You'd have ordered your records by mail. The local TV station would have shown old black and white films late at night. There would have been months when the darkness seemed to last all day, followed by months when it slowly turned light. Then we'd have moved away.
Oh, that's very nice. It's fun for me to hear a little bit of Hopkins and Illusion in one line there. Are there other poets whose influence you hear in echoes in your poetry as you look over your work or revise your work?
Well, it's hard to tell directly because I take so much in almost by osmosis. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find any single poet. I've never studied any single poet with the intention of, adopting the style.
Right.
I kind of do my own thing.
That's great. And in terms of opportunities to share your work, certainly you've been published in a great number of journals and you have a number of books out. Do you also participate in live poetry series and readings and open mics and other events locally in the Bay Area? Because I know that there are quite a few.
There are. And last year, with 16 Rivers, another writer, Christina Hutchins, and I, who has a book out called, that's what happens, just went out of my brain, The Stranger Dissolves.
Okay.
And Christina and I did many readings for a year, and after a while I felt a little burned out, but I'm going back to it now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do a lot of open mics, but I try to do, frequent readings.
Well, you're at the part in time in your career where you could be a featured poet rather than having to go to an open mic. But it certainly, I often enjoy the energy and the sometimes more potential talent than talent at open mics. But you can make discoveries and find surprises there, and so that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, they're fun. And one of my favorite in the Bay Area is the Cafe Villona open mic, and
mm-hmm.
that's led by Connie Post. And I see she's going to be in your show in August, so
yeah.
Give her a plug.
Yeah, she's actually coming to the Poetry Night reading series in August, and that is on the 16th, if I remember correctly, of August, over at the John Atsoulis Gallery, where we have readings every first and third Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And Connie, as you suggested, certainly does a lot for poetry with her Villona reading series over at the deli there. And that's a lot of fun. That's a reading series over in Crockett, California, that I encourage people to check out if you're interested in quality poetry and quality hosting. Great. Team Wagner, let's hear another poem from your book, In the Body of Our Lives.
Okay. This is a poem I wrote about my mother. For years, my husband kept bees.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of stories from that, and there's a lot of bee poems in here. But this is one that oddly where I compared my mother, who was an alcoholic, to the bees. And it's called My Mother Was Like the Bees. Because she needed a lavish taste on her tongue, a daily tipple of amber and gold to waft her into the sky, a soluble heat trickling down her throat. Who could blame her for starting out each morning with a swig of something furious in her belly, for days when she dressed in flashy lamé leggings like a starlet, for wriggling and dancing a little madly, her crazy reels and her rumbas, for coming home wobbly, with a flicker of clover's inflorescence still clinging to her clothes, enough to light the darkness of a pitch-black hive.
Oh, that's very nice. Like me, you read your poems, but there are some poets, we were talking about open mics, especially in the slam community, Dana Joya, whose work you may know, there are some poets who choose to memorize their poems. And this has been a topic both in the poetry class that I teach and also on this radio show from time to time. I'm wondering what your own relationship is with memorization and poetry, if there are certain poems that you do or once upon a time committed to memory, and what you find yourself either memorizing or inadvertently memorizing, especially when you're on an intense book tour, as it sounds like you've been over this last year.
Yes, I have all my poems memorized. By the time I've revised them, I've read them so many times, I've gone over them that I hate them and I know them all by memory.
Yeah.
But when I have to recite, I have to look at a book. I couldn't tell you my telephone number when I get up in front of people.
Yeah.
I have to have the book. But I do know them by heart, and some poems are easier to read than others. So I usually choose those.
And when you say easier to read, do you mean easier linguistically or easier like in terms of the emotional content?
I mean, actually, that they flow better.
Mm-hmm.
They're easier to read. Some of the other poems, you read them in your mind and they sound great, but when you start reading them out loud, you find you get caught up in them. Maybe the sentences are too long, I'm not sure, but they just aren't as audience friendly as others.
Right. I know that, and let me remind folks, we're chatting with Jean Wagner this afternoon about poetry and the business of poetry. Jean has been published in a great number of impressive places, including the Alaska Quarterly Review, Nimrod, Cincinnati Review, and Rhino, and also on websites such as Poetry Daily, First Daily, and PBS's Poem of the Week. Have you in any of those instances been asked to record a reading of your poem and share that?
Well, on a few times I had, and, you know, they would send me things, and it was usually optional, and say, can you burn a CD or something,
mm-hmm.
Which sounded very inflammatory to me.
Yeah.
I'm technically not very good despite doing taxes, so I never did it. But now I'm going to try to do that, do more reading.
You'll also have be able to download the segment from our website or grab that from Pia.
Right.
So you'll have at least a very nice reading of those three poems that
yeah.
you shared with us. And you can send those off as you need to. Though, you know, once upon a time we burned CDs. I think nowadays you could probably just send an MP3 file. But there's still a little bit of editing that needs to be done. And that's outside of the ken of comfort for, you know, a great number of people. Great. Well, Jean Wagner, coming up for you, do you have readings? Are you working on a new manuscript now? What sort of projects are coming up for you next?
Well, right now, after you do a book, and, you know, I put all my latest and stray poems in it, the better ones. So it's kind of a sense of completion. And now I'm trying to broaden my style. I'm trying to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Poems that are a little different. So really I'm working in that, not working on the idea of a book, because if I started to do that, I'd be thinking theme and narrowing, you know, my horizons. Right now I'm just trying to relearn.
That's great. Do you work in form at all when you try new styles as a poet?
Yeah, sometimes I do. The Mark Doty poem was a villanelle, and I do work in forms, yeah. It's fun.
Doty's a terrific poet. I've really enjoyed following him online as well as reading his books.
Yeah, so, he's one of my favorites.
Yeah, he's great. Well, Jean Wagner, this has been a lot of fun. Let me remind folks at home that Jean Wagner's most recent book is In the Body of Our Lives, released from 16 Rivers Press. Remind me, do you have a website where people can find out more about you as a poet?
I do have a website. And since it's technically sort of difficult to add new things, it's sort of... not too up-to-date, but they can certainly check out the website of 16 Rivers Press. It has all sorts of goodies there on that, and it has my poems as well as the other members' poems.
Excellent. Great. Well, Jean Wagner, thanks so much for making the drive to join us on KDVS's Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour this afternoon.
Thank you.
Absolutely.